Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's BudPod 259.
259, you drive fine. You drive fine.
You drive fine.
Oh, that's what they say at the end of a driving exam if you passed. They just go on their little checklist and they look at you and you go, you drive fine. Congratulations.
Has there ever been an exam so soon forgotten?
Than a driving exam? I would say most of my engineering exams in university. I've good cram brain. I can cram pretty well.
What about has there ever been?
But then once the exam's done, it just flies out.
Oh, sure. But has there ever been an exam so soon forgotten, despite you immediately using the thing the exam is for?
All the time, yeah. Like in driving, I think I actually for ages, I was told that I drove like I was still taking the exam.
My
girlfriend said that I drive like I'm still taking the exam, and it's true, I do. Like my hands always 10 and 2. I'm always both hands on the wheel, always checking the mirrors before every turn. Yeah, I do drive still very, very safely, very exam like. But that's because my brain is such that I go, this is how I was told to do it, this is how I was taught to do it. There must be a reason I was examined on these techniques, so I keep doing it.
These are the optimum methods.
Yeah.
Apparently.
What I have forgotten is the parallel parking advice they give you, like where you'd reverse up to, at which point you turn, and then at which point you turn next. I've forgotten that. That I've had to sort of relearn by instinct.
Yeah, you've got to get your back rear left light aligned with the back rear right light of the car behind you. Like, there's a whole
right. Yeah, that's there. That's it. And then you turn, and then you reverse until your front left light is aligned with their back right light, and then you turn the other way.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
Is that right?
Please, please.
It must be your back left. Wheel is aligned with their back left wheel, and then you turn.
I don't know. Apologies to anyone who can hear any gurgling. I'm having a good time. That's not it. It's because the dishwasher is making sounds. I was about to say the dishwasher is on for some reason, but that would be a lie. I know why it's on. It's on so that it can wash some dishes.
The dishwasher's on for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in this crazy house of mine.
Yeah. Well, I didn't put it on, but it was on.
I love. Okay, how annoyed would you be, Pierre? The dishwasher is gurgling, the gurgling throughout these records, gurgling. We finished, and you get up, and the dishwasher goes blip, bip. It's finished, and you go over and you open it, and there's one single bowl. in the middle, just a single white bowl.
And it's also it's stacked still in such a way that there's water in the bowls like
yeah
hat.
yeah, it's facing upwards.
I'd be pretty fucking annoyed. I'd be pretty fucking annoyed if it was for one, and it ends exactly as we're finishing.
Yeah, exactly. I really like the sound of a dishwasher going. It makes me feel good.
It's
the
a
idea
nice
of
hum.
Something being cleaned by a machine
yeah.
in the corner is very pleasant to me.
Yes, it does seem magical, and it's like a nice humming sound. Does yours beep when it's done? Mine burps itself open.
Oh, you got one of those. Mine's dip, dip, dip. Something like that.
It doesn't belch.
It doesn't blip.
Mine goes chonk. And go, bah, and all the steam comes out of its mouth. Bah.
Come and see what I have done.
Cleansed. Cleansed. That's what mine says.
Yummy.
Yeah. I wish it was eating the, I guess drinking. Oh, the dishwasher filter. Is there a more disgusting object in the home?
The dishwasher filter. I very look in that thing. I very rarely look at it.
It's not
I'll
nice.
I'll take the washing machine's lint filter any day.
Yeah,
lovely,
yeah, yeah.
Dry, fluffy.
Yeah, the washing machine's lint filter is like, oh, it's a mess, but it's made of cuddly, warm little creatures. It's like the nicest mess. That's going to be the title of my movie, The Nicest Mess.
The Nicest Mess.
Yeah, what's the nicest mess? Definitely the lovely, soft, fuzzy, warm lint drawer.
That is a nice mess. What else is a nice mess? I like putting a whole thunking thing of paper into the recycling. Just thunk.
Ooh. Yes. Like, sorry. Again, I have to apologize. A guy on a fucking motorbike for no reason just drove down my road, turned around, drive away again. Cheers. Cheers, Hell's Angel. God's sake. I know what you mean. It's almost worth buying and immediately binning a full, you know, like, packet of A4 just for that massive brick sound. Donk.
Yeah. Yeah, putting in, like, a tin can into the recycling feels good.
That's
clean
good.
Tin can.
Shredding stuff is very satisfying.
Shredding is satisfying. Ooh! I love cutting an old credit card into the bin.
Oh, like someone starting a new life in a film.
That's it. Well, whenever you get a new credit card, you're meant to slice up the old one into the bin.
Yeah.
And I slice. The best bit is you get the scissors and you cut through the gold chip. And you can feel the change in consistency from the plastic card into the metal, the thin metal chip, and then back into the plastic card. Oh, yes. I'm getting shivers about it right now. That's a lovely mess.
That's a nice mess. Old credit card.
Yeah.
And I think
chopping up old credit card.
It feels like you're starting a new identity.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm going, goodbye, old Phil.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Phil, that expired in 2023.
Say hello to Phil, who expires in 2032.
That's this unpleasant side effect of the expiry dates on credit cards is it makes me go, oh, by the time I get another credit card, I'm going to be 39.
Oh yeah. The passage of time.
Fuck, yeah. Next time I have a new credit card, I'm gonna be knocking on the door of 40. Woof!
How do you feel about the idea of turning 40 at this early stage? You're far from it, I suppose.
Yeah. I think I'm much better prepared than most because I'm aging well because of my genes and my skin routine, my skincare routine.
Yes.
I've got very good genes for hair. Crucially, I have excellent genes for hair.
Mm-hmm.
I've got color. I've got volume.
You're like a good TV.
Yeah, and I'm working out. I'm looking pretty stacked these days, you know, Pierre. I go to the gym, I get my pump on. I look at myself in the mirror. I've got like I'm like, wow, my body is the shape of a man's at last. It's taken 34 years, but I finally got man shaped body.
I
feel decent about going 40, but it's still not okay. Ideal.
I've collapsed into fat decadence over the last week.
Really? But you're like Hench Strongman.
Yeah, but now I'm looking more like guy who is strong, but who is also fat.
Yeah, but well, that's because
Game
you've been
of
on
Thrones.
Tour.
Guy who's strong in Game of Thrones.
Yes. Yeah. The mountain. Yeah. You're heading towards the mountain.
Yeah, where it's like, well, he's obviously strong, but there's no real definition on him. Apart from his titties.
I'm scared of him, but only because he's demonstrated his strength with a feat.
Yeah.
Upon just looking at him, I wasn't scared of him. He had to do something.
Yeah, I was scared of his bigness, but I wasn't sure if that meant strongness, because I've been trained to think of strongness as looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right. That's right. But you look at World's Strongest Men, and they're always round fellas.
Yeah, they've got a good inch or two sheet of fat over their massive muscles.
Yeah, really, really.
As if it is to stabilize them or something. It's like armor. Yeah, they very rarely have any kind of shred going on.
I told you about the arm of Henry VIII I saw in the Metropolitan Museum in New York, right? They have one of the Henry VIII's final battle armor, his last.
Oh, is that big fat armor?
Yeah, it's fucking scary.
His nutty professor armor.
Yeah, it is, but it's not goofy looking. It's really intimidating. He's really tall. It's really big, and it's black, and it's like, woof. It's like something out of Game of Thrones. It's really, really intimidating.
I imagine if you just... If you were a fucking peasant, and like we've talked about this before, I think, with like churches or like any sort of stone building, like you've only ever seen huts and stuff. But equally with like clothes, you've only ever really seen a pretty limited range of colors, you know, green, kind of rusty brownish, reddish color, maybe some yellows, probably not blue outside of maybe a couple of fancy ladies who you've seen ride past on horses or something. And like in terms of weaponry, it's just like, I have a spear and a round bit of like leather. That is kind of a shield a bit. And then you just see a guy who's basically the T-1000 from fucking Terminator. You basically, the Terminator rides towards you on a Terminator horse. It just smashes your fucking rib cage in with a mace. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I still find horses scary now. I mean...
Yeah.
You're in London and there's a mounted policeman and you're like, I'm a little intimidated. I mean, they look silly, but also I'm a bit... scared because they're high up and the horse is strong.
Yeah, and also I don't want to be in the same pavement area as that horse.
That's it. Yeah, even the feel of its hooves clopping on the floor, I don't like. It's like scary. So I get. Yeah.
God, imagine.
And then hey, I just get it, peasants of the past.
I'm amazed that people didn't flee from battles more. I'm amazed people stuck around enough for battles to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it wasn't even like, you know, at least if you were a mercenary or something, you're like, wow, this is really scary. But I do get 100 florins. And instead it was just like, you're just there in your fucking rags thinking, I kind of get nothing. Maybe if I could steal something when no one's looking, I could get like an amulet from someone who's dead. If I don't die.
Yeah, I'm doing this to defend the... property of a king who fucking hates me.
Who hates me and fucks my fucking wife and takes all my turnips and I have to bow and I live in mud and he doesn't live in mud. This is crazy. Also, if I get like a scratch from one of these guys, it's going to go green and itchy and smelly and I'll probably die.
Man, I was listening to something about the invention of antibiotics.
Yeah.
And one of the first people who was the first test subject for antibiotics was an English man who got a cut on his cheek from a rose thorn. He was gardening and he just got scratched on his cheek, and it got infected and he got really, really ill, and they treated him with this very rudimentary penicillin, like original penicillin, like, which was only in such small doses because they couldn't extract it at industrial scale yet. And he did a bit better, and then he did badly again, and he died. And I'm like, you could die because you got scratched gardening. You could die. Can you imagine? Gardening. If you got scratched by a rose gardening, you could look at it and go, that might be me.
I'm done.
It's unfathomable. I'm done. I got scratched by a rose gardening.
Just fall over and scrape your knee and just go, well, goodbye. That's fucked. That's
hell.
Fucked. That is
fucking
fucked.
Hell.
Also, just like...
I mean, it's no wonder the population, human population exploded in the 20th century.
Yeah.
There's fucking deaths like that weren't happening anymore. People weren't dying because they'd stubbed their toe or whatever fucking thing he used to take.
There was, maybe it was in the Roman Legion exhibit at the British Museum, but it was somewhere where I was like, even back then they would do what they would call heroic surgery. And that was like internal like surgery.
Without painkillers.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they hit you on the head. They'd feed you some fucking rum or equivalent. Like, God knows. But like, there's sometimes people still somehow manage to survive. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cut myself
all the fucking time.
You cut yourself on bread.
I've cut a knuckle on bread. Honestly, crusty bread cut me up. And to think, I wonder how many times do you reckon I've actually died? How many times do you think I've died actually in my life from cuts? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's true. What's our medieval death count? What do you think your medieval death count is? Mine is high, because I had asthma, I had pneumonia as a kid. I had chicken pox.
I've had lung infection.
Oh, yeah.
Was that maybe one lung infection? I have asthma.
I've got asthma. I got hay fever.
And all the inoculations I've had.
Yeah.
I sometimes think, oh, what would I be like if I was living in medieval times? And I imagine me now, with all the things I know now and the wisdom I know now, going around, oh yeah, maybe I'd be quite an important member of society. I could get things done. But would I even have lived this long? I cut myself all the fucking time. I'd be dead.
I don't think I'd have made it at all.
Yeah.
I remember even as a kid, because I was so, and still am, so allergic to horses. Even as a kid, I was like, well, I wouldn't be allowed to be a knight. Like, I can't breathe near those animals. And maybe that's why I like history. Because even from a young age, I couldn't even be romantic in my own head about it. I was like, oh, I could be a knight in medieval times if we somehow cure hay fever. Anyway, like, it just never seemed conceivable. But have you seen now, Phil, the world is heading for depopulation. That's the next problem.
Yeah, we aren't making enough babies. I swear that turned on a dime.
Well, that's the thing.
There was a moment there when the world is overpopulated, and then now the world's underpopulated. Why wasn't... I don't remember a golden period of people going, we have the exact right number of people around right now. No one... That never came.
No. No, it never did.
That should have come, logically.
I think that ideal period was the 50s or maybe the 70s, where it was like hardly any old people drawing pensions and loads of young educated workers.
That was the ultimate time. Because it's not just about how many people in total you have, it's about how old they are and how many of each cohort you have.
You got something ringing there.
Oh, fuck. Sorry, thanks. Okay, I'll be back in a sec. I'll keep it running.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, if it was a... I don't know. Sometimes... They seem quite inconsistent, the delivery companies. Sometimes if you're not there, they'll go, it's fine. We'll leave it here. And you pick it up when you're way back. And then sometimes you get an email saying, you were not in and we daren't leave it anywhere but in your supple, just hands. We will try again next year. And you're like, just leave it on by the fucking door, man. This must have been one of the latter guys.
One of the what? Oh yeah, that's true. Well, you've always managed to have a packet delivered during a Bud Pod recording.
Yeah, almost. And listeners must think I'm just getting stuff delivered all the time. It's not that much, but it does.
Phil just goes on Amazon for like cups of coffee or like single ice cubes, things like that.
Single sheets of toilet paper. But I've already had my Amazon delivery today.
Your daily Amazon delivery?
Yeah, lens wipes, baby. I'm addicted to lens wipes for my glasses. Look, this one just came in. These are the eCloth brand spectacle wipes.
I was not expecting this.
I'm addicted to having lens wipes all around the house because I hate. It looks nice. I hate having smudged glasses. I hate it. So now I have to have one in every room. And I want to eventually get to a point where I've got one in every in the pocket of every jacket. Mm. So I'm never without a lens wipe. Because you might find yourself, Pierre, in the cinema all of a sudden, as I did recently, watching Dune 2. Have you spoken about Dune 2?
I haven't seen it yet. Everyone loves it.
I loved it. It was so good. I hadn't seen Dune 1. So me and the gal, we watched it a couple of days before Dune 2. And then went and saw Dune 2 in IMAX.
Yeah.
Really good, man. Really good. I'm not a big sci-fi guy. I like sci-fi when it's about ideas. The best sci-fi is sci-fi about like ideas.
Like Arrival.
I don't really care about Arrival. Dune has a lot of great ideas. The original Twilight Zone has some fantastic ideas. That's what great sci-fi is to me. I don't really care about flying around in spaceships and going through wormholes and pew-pew-pewing. I don't really care about that. And there's not much of that at all in Dune, which I really like. But there's a lot of like great ideas about religion and fate and resource extraction and colonialism and the idea of... what is a messiah predicted by?
Prophecy.
A prophecy.
Prophecies
and
worms.
Big fat juicy worms, baby.
Big old boys.
Big yummy worms. It's and the music is so good. The sound is so good. I love it. I love how creepy it is. I love.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
Is it creepy?
Well, unsettling. The imagery is unsettling. And it's like, you know, you go to the Harkonnen planet and it's literally black and white. And
yes, that's true.
It's so good. It's so good. I love
Goth planet. Bald goth planet.
It's true. It's true. I really, really liked it.
Speaking
of sci-fi.
Yeah.
I'm in some sci-fi. Oh, yeah,
of course. Fuck, I meant to.
If you follow me on Instagram, you might have spotted that I have a brief cameo in three Body Problem, which is on Netflix. Three Bloody Problem. Written by Si Sin Liu. Shout out to her brother, a Chinese novelist
who wrote
these sci-fi books. And filmed it in. A couple of years ago, my little part, and it's out now. I'm in the third episode.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It means there's a handful.
You're wearing puffy pants.
Wearing puffy Renaissance pants. There's a few comedy cameos. It's me, Kevin Eldon.
Yep.
Reese Shearsmith and Mark Gatiss, and Aid Edmondson.
Oh, yes.
It's me and the old boys.
Yeah, you and the old fuckers there. Kevin Eldon was in Napoleon as well. I don't know how...
He's in loads. He's in Game of Thrones twice as different people, I think. I think he gets killed... Ah. I think he's a guard who gets killed twice. I think they just... The Game of Thrones producers, who have also made this show, just love
Kevin Eldon. Kevin
Eldon killed, I guess.
Mark Gatiss is in Game of Thrones as well.
He's the
Iron Bank guy.
Oh yeah, of course.
He's got a little rough on, and he talks about the bank in a very soft way.
He talks about that very well.
Yeah, he's very good. Kevin Eldon's in everything. And now James Acaster is in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he's in Ghostbusters. Yeah, he's in something else at the moment, I think.
Is he?
Seize Them? Is that a movie?
Oh, I don't know. Are you telling me, Phil, that this is a golden age for slightly odd British comedy people sneaking into Hollywood films?
Yeah, here we go. Seize Them. I don't know if Seize Them is Hollywood or British. It's pretty British. Ben Ashenden is in it. Who is he?
We know Ben.
From back in the day.
Hello, Ben.
Did they write it? Is this the one that they wrote? Why?
So, Phil, what do you think this is about? How do you think this is happening? Why do you think this is happening?
The comedians are being cast in shows, in movies and shows.
No, but British comedians are sneaking their sloppy little bums into massive shows, streaming things, big old stuff.
Well, I think a big part of it is how many studios have moved to London and how many American productions have preferred to shoot in the UK and London. And, you know, the London studios industry has really boomed in the last couple of years. I think for a while there, it was impossible to get a slot in a London movie studio for like 3 or 4 years. This all booked up.
Wow.
Because we've got Leavesden, we've got Pinewood, we now have the new Netflix studios. I can't remember where they are.
Buckingham Palace.
And they're building another one somewhere. I can't remember. So I think just filming in the UK, you get more British actors, you get more British crew, and you just slowly move into the British space and become aware of British stuff. And I think like American nerds are into British comedy.
Yes,
and
that's
American
a big part
nerds
of it.
Have been making more and more of American television than well, ever yeah, I mean, before like because of
Matt,
the
Matt
comic
Berry's,
book boom.
Matt Berry's in so much. They love Matt Berry.
Yeah. Yeah. And
apparently, I've heard Judd Apatow is responsible for a lot of it, because Judd Apatow watches like British comedy. He gets it all sent to him somehow.
Right.
So like that's why like Matt Berry and Sharon Horgan have sort of cracked.
Yes.
Big yes. time movies.
And like Richard Ayoade, he voices, he voiced Cyborg in Mandalorian. One episode has Richard Ayoade.
Oh, yeah. Matt Berry did as well, I think.
Yeah.
He had a very funny cameo on Community, Matt Berry, as a grifter. Highly recommend watching that episode, even if it's just on its own, just for his voice work and his mad appearance. Yeah, maybe that's it. Have you got anything? Have you snuck into any other Hollywood films? Because I'd completely forgotten that you'd filmed for Three Body Problem until I saw the clips floating around this week, and I sort of went, "Oh, what the? Oh, yeah."
I don't think so. No.
That's how far in advance all this is done. It's like to the point where you can literally be like, oh, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. But it's also like, no, I'm pretty sure it's not. I think I've had, a good spell with Wonka and then Three Body Problem.
Okay. Here's a question. You get to have a small part in a big Hollywood, like blockbuster, past or present. It's not like a cool part. It is like a silly, like you're behind a bar that gets robbed and you're like, whoa, or like whatever, like you pop up. Like it's not a big role, but you do get to be involved and you are in the film.
Yeah.
What film is it?
Oh, Batman, easily.
Which one?
Then if they do another Robert Pattinson one.
No, I mean like it can be from the past as well. You can say Godfather. You could say,
Oh, I see. Well, I said Batman because when we're filming Wonka, we were in Leavesden Studios where they're also filming a lot of the Batman.
Oh.
And comedian and friend of ours, Janine Haruni, is in it briefly as a lady of the evening. I don't know what you meant to say now, but
an evening
she's
lady.
A Goomba's side squeeze. And she's very good at it. But I was like, oh, wow, imagine that's so cool to be in a Batman movie.
Yeah, she's maybe she's a Guma.
Guma. Okay. Ooh, in that case, maybe the Dark Knight, the most important movie in any boy's life. The Dark Knight, 2008.
Millennial Men's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, that's our fucking Romeo and Juliet by Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
Is The Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would be a good one.
What else would I have liked to?
I would like to be in The Shining.
Oh, great! As what?
I don't know, but just because as a movie, it's every frame of it has been studied like academically by people. So if you're in it, people really know that you were in it.
There aren't actually many characters in.
Yeah, it'd be weird if I was just another guest. Morning. Hi, you seem weirder than yesterday.
I would have loved to have been the weird animal blowjob people.
Oh yeah,
towards the end. it's such a great icebreaker to go. That's the guy wearing the mask. That's me.
That's me. Like that's the Bud Pot scene. Phil's wearing the mask and I'm sucking him off.
No, the one doing the sucking off has the mask. The guy getting sucked off is in like a black tie.
Right. Okay. So you wear the mask and I'll sit on the bed in black tie. And then if out of context Bud Pot is listening, you can Photoshop this somehow.
Out of context Bud Pot has been doing some fantastic work.
Shout out. If you guys are on Instagram, Out of Context Bud Pot on Instagram is doing great work. And in fact, we've got some good correspondence from them, which we should do
Before we start the correspondence, I just want to quickly say I am hosting, very exciting, Pierre.
Yes.
I'm hosting this year's BAFTA Video Games Awards. BAFTA do a video games awards. They have done since 2004. And I am hosting it this year. And it's on the 11th of April. And you can actually stream it for free, I think. It must be for free. On YouTube X and Twitch. On the 11th of April at 7 p.m. It's really cool. So if you're into games, check it out. Hopefully I do a nice job for you there.
Yeah.
It's fun, Pierre. I'm living the dream I always had as a kid, which was to have to play games as a job. Because I'm playing through as many of the nominees as I can right now.
And it hasn't ruined it for you.
No. Well, I mean, what has ruined... Well, I've never played this many games in parallel at once. I've normally like to focus on the game, finish it, move on to the next one. But now I'm playing lots at once. And I've only finished one game, and it wasn't even one of this year's. It was an old game to bridge the gap into one of this year's games.
Yeah.
In the story. So I haven't finished any of the games this year. And games just get longer and longer and longer. They're like movies. And so finishing them is becoming a bigger and bigger task. I'm having a good old time.
Yeah, you're doing the video game equivalent of when Homer's being force-fed donuts in hell.
Yeah. But he still likes them. All right.
Okay, let's do some correspondence.
Yeah.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
It amazes me, by the way, when Microsoft send an email where it's like, update to your terms of use, and it's like, you're Microsoft, you could fuck me if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's not like at any point it goes, do you agree? We can discuss if you have any issues. It's just like, accept or no more Excel for you.
Yeah. Oh, hey, do you need to use computers? Yeah, I do. Oh, okay. Well, then this is what it's going to be like now. Okay, thanks, Microsoft. Sorry for looking at you in the eye. That's all it is. Don't pretend that we're negotiating this fucking... like we're sharing a bunk bed. It's so stupid. Just do it. Don't even tell me. Why tell me?
Microsoft is in the top bunk going, can I have the top bunk? Do you mind?
Yeah, and it has a gun. And
going, well, I was thinking I might go to the top bunk, and Microsoft's looking down going, but I'm already in the top bunk, though.
Microsoft
I'm already
is
here.
Lying in the top bunk, nude, with a gun, and fully aroused. And saying, can I have the top bunk? Please. Yes.
Pointing the gun at you while stroking its dick. Just
yeah.
Can I have the top bunk?
Can I have the top bunk? Yes, please. I'll be down here. Jesus. We've heard from Ben.
Ben!
Mm.
Go on, the hen, which is a term of endearment in Scotland.
It's true. You're not wrong. Doopy, 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 poopy. Ben says, dear P, no, smelly, and full pang.
P, no, smelly is great.
Yeah.
Full pang.
Yeah, full pang.
Like a pang of pain?
Or a full pan, as in like a toilet? But then
a full pan.
It has the G on.
There is a G, full pang.
Mm.
I don't know. I guess it must mean a pang like pain.
Yeah, full pong.
Burst of pain.
Well, either way, Ben says, I went into a local convenience store recently and found myself frozen on the spot, gazing at these fridge magnets, experiencing the tat sublime, as one might do on encountering a live, laugh, love wall hanging by Rothko. Enjoy, and as ever, Koji Ben. So let's look at this tat here. It's a sort of very multicolored, crowded constellation of fridge magnets.
Okay. Off for sale on like a display board, is that it?
Just kind of on a... I suppose they are for sale, but they are just kind of pretty haphazardly jimbled all over the fridge or whatever the thing he's looking at is.
Mm.
So there's some pretty practical stuff here, magnet-wise, Phil. Important messages, that's one.
It just says important messages?
Yeah.
Oh, for you to put important messages on. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Okay, so here's a picture. Would you like to guess the caption or the picture? You can have one.
Ooh, okay. I would like to guess the caption from
okay.
the picture.
It is a picture of a Frisian dairy cow in a field.
Yep.
So it's a photograph.
And are those the ones with the hair, a lot of hair coming down the sides?
No, those are Angus, those are Highland cows.
Oh, those Highland cows.
No, this is a classic black and white, like cartoon cow. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a photograph in a field, and it has like a huge, its udders are like massive. Its udders are like the size of its whole back half, almost, like back third.
And
really
it's a photo.
Big udders. It may have been manipulated, but it's not a cartoon.
Okay.
So it's a cow with huge udders.
Yeah.
And the caption is blank, blank.
Milk me.
Well, I was about to say as a clue sassier than that, but milk me is a pretty sassy thing to say to someone.
Right.
It's more cliche than that.
Got milk?
Yeah!
Hey!
You got it. okay, so here's one that it's in a very confusing mixture of white, black, and glittery pink.
Okay.
There's a lot of colors going on, and they're quite unusual colors in combination.
Okay.
So, in kind of 70s bubble writing, it says blank power.
Yep.
And then underneath blank power, it says, we're here, we're hungry, we're blanking for blank.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it girl power at the top?
No. It's all pink and sparkly, so it looks like it should be girl power. But it's more specific than that, I suppose.
Blank power.
Blank power.
Yeah, we're hungry.
We're blanking for blank.
And we're blanking for blank.
Yeah.
We're looking for food at the bottom. <It's>,
unbelievably.
Yeah.
It's we're here, we're hungry, we're looking for seconds.
We're looking for seconds. Okay. Blank power.
I cannot believe you got that.
Blank power would be like glutton power, greedy power.
It's fat power.
Fat power.
It just says fat
of
power.
Course.
Fat power. We're here, we're hungry, we're looking for seconds.
That doesn't rhyme. It's meant to rhyme, isn't it?
Yeah, also, seconds of what? Power? You mean you've already had your power? You've already finished the power we gave you.
That power, we're here, we're hungry, and we're looking for seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're looking for the power to have seconds without judgment. Is that the power they're looking for?
Yeah, I suppose. But they are admitting that we've already given them a big bowl of power, and they've just finished it sooner than they thought.
But I guess in their philosophy, that what separates the non-fat from the fat is the, you know, if they were satisfied with the first serving, then they wouldn't be coming back and there would be no need for this magnet. But
yeah, that's true. That's true. I wouldn't need this magnet if you had given me enough.
Yeah. That's right. Like you know, those signs that's, I don't know, like those kind of sassy modern protest signs where a kid has a sign saying, I should be at school, but, and then because it's climate protest, whatever. Maybe they have a sign that's like, I should still be eating right now. But instead, I'm here looking for seconds.
That would be such a funny badge to wear at like a buffet. I should still be eating, but if your plates weren't so fucking small, I wouldn't have to get back up and spoon myself more of this potato salad, would I? And the hotel worker's looking at the floor saying, no. Would I? No.
Exactly. Maybe that's what they mean.
Yeah. So here's a glittery one. It's glittery and green, and it has red and blue writing on the glittery green background. So it looks horrible. The colors are terrible.
Yeah, very garish.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you! Out of the blank pool.
Out of the blank pool. Out of the gene pool.
Yeah.
Yes. I would say eugenicist.
I was going to say, it's exactly what I was going to say. Initially, you think, oh, that's funny and sassy. And it's like, wait, hang on. Like, that's one of those ones.
Yeah, imagine that just being written in black and white, like Courier Sans.
Well, just with a big swastika on it.
Exactly. You only give it any benefit of the doubt, sort of sassy benefit of the doubt, because it's on a green background and it's
glittery. Like sparkly magnet. Ooh. It's really funny.
Out of the gene pool.
You will be stopped from breeding. But it's funny, it's on a little magnet. It's so funny that it's like, it takes you a second because it's written on a sparkly green background. But then if you saw it like, wait, who put up that magnet? And it's like a guy in a SS uniform. You go, I knew it.
But who is putting that magnet up on the fridge of their own house? Presumably they're seeing it the most. It'd be very funny to put it at the eye level of children. So only the child in the house ever sees it when they go to the fridge.
Maybe if you're like extinctionist, you're like, humanity should let itself go extinct. There's people who believe that.
Right, yeah, okay.
So maybe they put it on the fridge, so they look at it and they go, oh yeah, I must make sure not to.
Hey, you, out of the gene pool, yeah.
I need to remember to live, laugh, love, and to not get in the gene pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a eugenicist fridge magnet. It's a rare category. So here's another sparkly one. Finally out of blank. Let's go blank!
Oh, no. Finally out of blank. Let's go blank. Oh, finally out of wine?
No, but what was your second half going to be with that one?
Let's go shopping.
Let's go shopping, baby. You got it. Finally out of blank.
Finally out of... Is it booze?
No.
Finally out of cheese. Let's go shopping.
No, it's no. It's not an object. It's a concept.
Oh, shopping for a concept. Finally out of fucks to give. Let's go shopping for fucks.
I mean, you've got the vibe right. But they aren't. I see what you've done there. They aren't shopping for what they're out of.
Is it finally out of worries?
And kind
out of money?
No. But it's to do with money and worries. You could say it's to do with money.
Finally out of work?
No. What is money worries a synonym for?
Money worries is a synonym for anxiety.
No, like what's another way of saying money worries?
Poor.
Poor?
financially insecure, insecurities.
But what is what makes people feel financially insecure if they have
bills, debts,
debt. Finally, debt. Out of debt.
Very
Let's
good,
go shopping. Bad advice. And then this one says, the difference between my husband and my kids is that my husband gets a paycheck. So she fucks her kids. That's interesting. That's an interesting magnet.
Yeah.
My husband is the same as my kids, except he has he gets a paycheck. Not he even he has a job.
He gets a paycheck.
He gets a paycheck.
From
but he's
who?
The
From
same.
Me?
He's the From same the as them.
Because otherwise their relationships are indistinguishable from one another.
Yeah, I have to bath him and breastfeed him. And he is in nappies. Yeah,
I have
okay.
to take him to school. I have to drive him to swimming.
Yeah. I help him with his homework.
I have to put him to bed at 8 o'clock.
Oh, this one is would get you cancelled now.
Yep.
My Indian name is Sleeps at Desk.
Oh, Native American Indian.
That's it. It's like it would be offensive even if it said my Native American name. So it's like there's so many layers of wrong.
Yes, it's wrong because you're named after the first thing your father sees, is that right? After you're born?
Yeah, but even that's like specifically the Sioux or the Apache or something.
Oh,
like it's
right.
Not even...
But that's the trope they're playing on.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's either your mother or your father, the first thing they see when they leave the
birthing tent.
The birthing tent, yeah. That's or at least that's the trope. Yeah. So that's a magnet that these magnets are designed to get people in trouble, I think.
At work. Well, speaking of trouble, we're in trouble because we've run out of time.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, god damn it. How have we done this again? But we will see beautiful Patreons in the...
Yes?
We'll see our beautiful Patreons in the exclusive fridge.
In the exclusive fridge. As
fridge
you
shop.
Guys hear...
Exclusive fridge shop of the Patreon episode.
Yes,
the
nice.
Bonus pod.
As you guys hear this, I will have already started my Soho run. We are going to add an extra day on Saturday. I'm going to do the show on Saturday at 7:15 or whatever it is, and then again at like 9. So there's an extra show if you're missing the Soho run. There are still tickets left across the run, but they tend to be like solo seats in random places, so they're not selling. It's extremely annoying.
Very hard to sell those seats. Creepy seats. Creepy anorex seats.
The
pervert
seats.
I call them the perv seats, yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I think they're also like the best fan seats because those are the people who are there because they really like it. Why not come with your friend and just sit separately and make friends with whoever you're muscling
exactly.
in on?
I think that's a very underrated thing to go to a show with someone and sit separately and have individual experiences and then share notes afterwards. I think that's fun. I think it's a good way to experience culture and I think it's cool.
Also... You're not going to talk to, or you shouldn't fucking talk to each other during the whole thing anyway. So there's no point sitting together. Think
exactly. What are you missing out on? Nothing. A couple of nudges. Nothing. Who gives a shit about nudges?
Nothing.
Go to Pierre's show. I'll be going. I can't contain my excitement. I've not seen the show yet. I'm really looking forward to it. As for me, hosting the BAFTA Games Awards on April 11th. I'm filming my next special on April 26th. But at the Sam Wanamaker Theatre at Shakespeare's Globe, which will be very cool. But I think it might be sold out. I don't know if they're going to release more tickets, but check out the Globe website if you want to come. Just make sure, but it might be sold out. Sorry if it is. Otherwise, see Patreons in the bonus pod and all our other friends next week. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.